So Srimad Bhagavatam, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 1, Questions by Vidura, Text 21. Tatrata Sushrava Suhrit Vinashtim Vanam Yata Dainaja Vani Samshayam Samspardaya Dagdam Atanusochan Sarasatim Pratyag Yaya Tushnim Tatrata Sushrava Suhritvinashtim Vanam yata venuja vani samshayam samsparshtaya dagda matanu sochan sarasvatim pratyagiyaya tushnim Tatrata Sushrava Suhrit Vinashtim Vanam Yata Venuja Vani Samshayam Samspardaya Dagda Matanu Sochan Sarasvatim Pratyagiyaya Tushnim Tatrata Sushrava Suhrit Vinashtim Vanam Yata Venuja Vani Samshayam Samspardaya Dagda Matanu Sochan Sarasvatim Pratyagiyaya Tushnim Satim Pratyag Yavisu's name. Vaishnavis. Tatrata Sushrava Suritvanashtim Anamita Venuja Tatsamshram Samsvardaya Dagdamatana Sochan Saraswati Pratikarinasneem Tatra, there. Ata, thereafter. Sushrava, heard. Sahrit, kinsman. Vinashtim, all dead. Vanam, forest. Yata, as. As much as. Venujavani, fire due to the bamboos. Samshayam, friction with one another. Samspardaya, by violent passion. Dagdam, burnt. Ata, thus. Anusochan, grieving. Saraswati, the river Saraswati. Pratyak, westward. Iaya, went. Tushnim, silently. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. At the place of pilgrimage at Prabhas, it came to his knowledge that all his relatives had died due to violent passion, just as an entire forest burns due to fire produced by the friction of bamboos. After this, he proceeded to where the river Saraswati flows west. Purport. Both the Kauravas and the Yadavas were relatives of Vidura, and Vidura heard of their extinction due to fratricidal war. The comparison of the friction of forest bamboos to that of passionate human societies is appropriate. The whole world is compared to a forest. At any moment, there may be a flare-up of fire in the forest due to friction. No one goes to the forest to set it on fire, but due only to the friction between bamboos, fire takes place and burns the entire forest. Similarly, in the greater forest of worldly transaction, the fire of war takes place because of the violent passion of the conditioned souls, illusion by the external energy. Such a worldly fire can be extinguished only by the water of the mercy cloud of saints, just as a forest fire can be extinguished only by rains falling from a cloud. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So living in Southern California, we have experience of these things. usually every summer. There are huge forest fires that take place in California and the western United States. And, you know, you see on the news, oh, it's 4% contained, it's 5% contained, but sometimes these fires just keep on burning week after week, month after month. And they only come to an end when the rainfall comes, the rains come on the storms across the Pacific Ocean that come our way. So they may be trying with all their firefighting efforts to control these fires, but you know, they may have their airplanes scooping up water and or carrying chemicals, bombing the forest fires with these big aircraft and putting in thousands of firefighters and volunteers, but they don't get it under control until the rains come. So we pray like that every morning, Samsara Dava Anali Daloka Tranaya Karunya Ganaganatvam. Means the material existence is like a forest fire, and the only hope is the mercy of the bona fide spiritual master who is Krishna's representative. And by the rains of the mercy of such souls, the forest fire, the blazing forest fire of material existence in our hearts and surrounding us can be extinguished. So, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, the fire of war takes place because of the violent passion of the conditioned souls. Like today, these days, people are very much concerned about the possibility of war. Will Russia invade Ukraine? Will China invade Taiwan? So many things, you know, they're concerned. Yes, there's some friction among the bamboo trees in the forest, and the wind is blowing. And they're concerned, yes, there may be a spark that will turn into some great forest fire. Of course, even without war, there's the blazing fire of material existence. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. An intelligent person will see, yes, there is the blazing fire of material existence that's subjecting me and everyone here into birth, death, old age, disease, and a continual cycle. So, what is the solution? Generally, we try our own solutions. We think, okay, I've got this, it's under control, I'll deal with it. But at some point, we come to understand we need help from some higher power. Just like on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was thinking, okay, I've got this. You know, he asked Krishna to take the chariot. Krishna was serving as his chariot driver. And he said, pull me up to the middle of the battlefield so I can see with whom we have to contend. But then he kind of lost his nerve, you know, seeing on the opposite side friends, relatives, gurus. And he began to become a little bit confused about his duty. Now, he tried to figure it out. But in the end, his body was shaking. His skin was burning. His mind was totally confused, and he couldn't figure out what would be better, to kill these relatives or to be killed by them. And you know, he was thinking, maybe I should just go to the forest or something, but he couldn't even decide on that. So eventually he had to surrender to his friend Krishna and say, Shishyashtaham Shadi Mantam Prapanam, please instruct me. We're not just playing like friends anymore. I need help. I need instruction to get out of this dilemma. So eventually we all come to that point where we decide we need help. At least I can say for myself, in coming to Krishna consciousness, I would think, okay, I've got this under control, I'll figure it out. But sometimes you come to an understanding that all your resources, all your so-called intelligence, everything else is not sufficient to get you out of the situation, to resolve the dilemma that you're in. Sometimes I think, yes, I became Krishna conscious because I was inquiring and I wanted to know the truth. And certainly all that is there, but the real crux of the matter is become completely frustrated with your material existence, with your possibilities in life, and there's nowhere else to go but to surrender to genuine spiritual authority. So this example of forest fire is given throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. Many times it's given as an example of what our situation is. And I said this world is like the world of material existence is just like a great forest fire that's inflicting so much pain and suffering and confusion upon us. But like, sometimes it's stated like an elephant caught in a forest fire will go into the river Ganges or some other river to get relief from the suffering. And sometimes Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's teachings are compared to such a cooling river that the conditioned souls who want relief from the forest fire of material existence can enter. If they enter the cooling river of discussion of Krishna's pastimes and teachings, they will get relief. So that example, the example is given many times. But then there are some actual instances of forest fires. Like it's described how Krishna and Arjuna, once Krishna allowed Agni to burn a forest that belonged to Lord Indra, the Khandava forest. And the forest was full of all kinds of medicinal herbs and plants and things like that. So Agni needed those things for some recovery, so Krishna allowed him to burn this forest. And Arjuna and Krishna were there, and Agni was so grateful that he gave some gifts to Arjuna, his Gandiva bow, his armor, his chariot, the horses for his chariot. And he also agreed to, there was a demon, Maya Danava, who was saved by Arjuna and Krishna. And he was also grateful to them. So he built an assembly house, a fantastic assembly house in Hastinapur for the Pandavas. And then in Vrindavan, there were a couple of forest fires. One took place, it took place at night, on a summer night. And the residents of Vrindavan, they were peacefully sleeping, but all of a sudden a forest fire, surrounded everyone. And they went to Krishna and said, "Please save us." They just understood that Krishna had some powers. They didn't think he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they'd seen he'd been able to kill some demons, and Garga Muni, who had done his birth ceremony, had predicted, "This child will do some amazing things. He'll rescue you many times." So they thought, okay, he's some powerful entity. So Krishna stated, swallowed up. The actual Sanskrit word is apivat, drank. So he drank all the, or inhaled all the flames of the fire and put it out. And then another time, Krishna and the cowherd boys were out herding the cows. And not just cows, but according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, cows, goats, and buffaloes, but especially the cows, cows had wandered away somewhere. The cowherd boys kind of lost track of them. And they had wandered off to some other forest. They were originally in the Bandiravan forest, but the cows had wandered off to some other forest. I think it was called the Munjaka Vana. And there had been a forest fire had started, and the cows had become a little upset and began mooing loudly. And the cowherd boys heard them and said, "Well, where are they? We kind of lost track of them." And they kind of understood it was their responsibility. The whole village depended upon the cows for its survival. Their whole economic basis was on the basis of these cows. So they were very worried, and they began searching and searching, and they finally came to this Munjaka forest, I think it was called, and they found the cows. So they gathered them together and started on their way back to the village of Vrindavan. But then the forest fire sprang up. It greatly increased in size, and it surrounded them with huge flames. Sometimes I've seen videos of forest fires where they suddenly spring up and people have to flee immediately, and on both sides of the road there are huge flames, they have to get through. So it was a situation like that. In the Krishna book and Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described how they're immediately surrounded by this huge fire. And said the tongues of it were reaching, huge size, and it was a very difficult situation. So again, the cowherd boys this time, they went to Krishna. They understood Krishna to be their dearmost friend, their most lovable friend. They didn't appreciate him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they knew, they had seen him kill some demons and things like that. So they went to Krishna for protection, and they prayed to him, "Please deliver us. We're your devotees, but how can we be your friends and devotees if we're burned up? So please save us." And Krishna said, "Just close your eyes." So they faithfully just closed their eyes, And while their eyes were closed, it said Krishna swallowed the fire. And then he asked them to, okay, now open your eyes. They opened their eyes, and the forest fire was completely gone. Not only was the forest fire completely gone, they were back in the Bandirvan forest, you know, nearer to home. And, you know, they went back to the village and they told everyone, the elderly gopas and gopis, you know, their mothers and fathers and all the elderly residents of Vrindavan, wow, you know, we were out today, Krishna killed the Pralambasura demon, and then after that there was this huge forest fire and Krishna completely saved us from it. And they were thinking, our friend Krishna, he must be some kind of demigod or something. And maybe we're demigods too. And that's a demigod, you know, according to the Vedic understanding, is a jiva soul, just like we're jiva souls. And, a jiva soul who is greatly empowered with longer span of life and more highly developed senses and abilities is kind of in our same category, not in a different category, different tattva. There's Vishnu tattva, there's jiva tattva. They're different. So they didn't understand Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their usual state of mind. And the elderly residents of Vrindavan, they had the same opinion. Yes, maybe Krishna is the demigod who's come down to help us in our village here. So it's interesting, you know, because they try to use their logic, you know, to understand Krishna's position. But, you know, they come to the, it's the right conclusion, because ultimately that's what Krishna wants. He wants these spontaneous, loving exchanges. Krishna enjoys that. Eka Bahu Sham. Why does Krishna expand himself into so many different categories of beings for enjoyment, Anandamaya Vyasat? So that's what Krishna really enjoys more than anything else, his relationships with his eternal associates who have this spontaneous, loving attraction to him as friend, lover, child, master. So Krishna reciprocates with them like that. So whether we're in the forest fire of material existence or in Krishna Lila, confronting a forest fire, the solution is to approach Krishna, approach Krishna's representative, take shelter of the cooling river of the discussion of Krishna's pastimes and teachings, engage in devotional service, and take advantage of the mercy of the spiritual master who's raining down clouds of mercy to extinguish within our hearts the burning fire of material existence. Hare Krishna. So any comment or question? Yeah.
Just remember Ramdas Prabhu from here in New Dwarka. Today's his disappearance day, so we've always kind of like said a few words about Ram Dass.
Please.
Jai. So, yes, for those of you that don't know Ram Dass, that's his picture there at the feet of Srila Prabhupada Vyasa-san. He was the Hepajari here in New Dwarka. He joined here in the 80s, I think around 1980 or something like that he joined. And he passed away in the year 2000. So when he came, he was a pretty much a person who lived, he lived in New York. He really didn't have many things to do in New York. He decided to go to California. He wanted to join the Rosicrucians, the Christian group, I think, or something like that. Rosicrucians, that's right. Okay, that's it. And, he wanted to go on a farm. And so he went to California. So he arrived in California sometime in 1980. And he stayed overnight at a homeless shelter in downtown Los Angeles. The next day, the devotees had Harinam Sankirtan, and they happened to go by this particular place. And Ram Dass saw them, and they gave him a dinner card and a Back to Godhead magazine and told him that to come to the temple. So the next day, he walked from downtown all the way here to New Dwarka Temple. It was about 10 miles or something. So he walked. It took him several hours to get here. And he met a devotee here, and he stayed for the day, took prasadam, and then a particular devotee asked him, "Well, what do you think about being here?" And he says that Ram Dass Prabhu, he just looked at the person and he broke down crying. He felt that this was definitely where he wanted to be, and it was a place where he felt he was satisfied with what he was always searching for. So he joined, and the first thing they had him doing is like he was a communications director, a public relations person. He seemed to have a really good knack with speaking with people, communicating with them, and inviting him to come to the temple. He did that for some time, and then he also did some legal work for the temple, for the airport, and the distribution in the different parking lots and streets around Los Angeles. He did that. And then finally one day, he was called into the office of the temple president, and he was told straight out, "Okay, you're going to be the head pujari, because the head pujari left, so you're going to now be the head pujari." So he took on that service, didn't even think about it twice. He just was very surrendered to that. It was his characteristic, very surrendered. So he took over the dressings of the deities, and then, tried to help the devotees that were doing service on the altar. He was very personable. That's one reason why he was given that public relations service. He was he could talk to people, converse with them very nicely, and encourage them. And he dealt a lot with a lot of the devotees' personal problems. The devotees loved him. He was like a jolly green giant, kind of thing, because he was very tall, and well over 6 foot two or three, a big statured person, kind of like muscular, big huge hands. So when you approached Ram Dass, you were immediately humbled to some degree just by his stature. But what came out of him was pretty amazing, very, very compassionate, very loving person. He was very keen on helping devotees, especially if they had some, physical problems or ill or emotional problems. He was a very busy boy. So, yes, he was also very astute in his reading of Prabhupada's books. He could recite verbatim all kinds of long prayers that we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When he would be on the altar doing a puja, he would chant the Sanskrit verses, prayers, and then he would say them in English by heart, verbatim. So he was very astute in that. He was really renowned around the temple here for being a person who would always carry some prasadam with him. Whenever he had these big, huge bag that he'd always, whenever you saw him, he'd have a huge bag on his shoulder. And it was like one of those kind of bags that you dug in deep and anything could come out of it, really. But it always, he'd have like samosas and he would actually cook down burfi for the deities. And normally, you know, you just have a little piece, but his pieces were like a, you know, like 8 ounce bar of burfi that he would carry in his pocket. And then if you were feeling down or blue, he'd pull out either a big old huge samosa or he'd pull out one of these wonderful burfis. And it really put a smile on anybody's face that was there. And not only that, but he would sit there and discuss with you if there was any problems. So very, very compassionate kind of individual. So he was doing that for many years here in New Dwarka in the 80s all the way till, I don't know, like 1990s or something when he became ill. He had a heart condition. And so he had to give up that service as a pujari, head pujari. He was the head pujari. And he had to give up that service. And then he decided he wanted to go to Vrindavan and pass away in Vrindavan. And I think that's really an amazing characteristic of Ramdas. That, you know, he was, you might say, brave enough or staunch enough or devoted enough to just more or less drop everything and move to Vrindavan to leave the planet. And so on that particular level, I like to just kind of like read what I have here. Ramdas spent at least 3 years in Vrindavan. During that time, he mostly read and chanted and listened to lectures. So it took him 3 years to pass away in Vrindavan. He did some deity worship in his ashram. He did not engage in idle gossip. He would talk about Srila Prabhupada constantly, whoever came to visit him. I personally had that experience. I went to visit him and we sat there for a couple of hours just talking about Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON and deity worship. It was beautiful. He really became attached to Srila Prabhupada and had many copies and drawings of Prabhupada's lotus feet. He had it laminated. It was a little, you know, 4-inch by 6-inch little laminated picture of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And then the time you came to visit him, he'd give you one of these particular little pictures. So he was getting more and more sick as he stayed in Vrindavan. But still, even though he was, if you came to visit him, he'd cook for you. He was a good cook. I had the pleasure of being a recipient of that cooking whenever I visited Vrindavan. As he got sicker, people came in to visit him and he would try to talk to them, but eventually there was a point where it came where he couldn't. And Kavi Chandra Maharaj was with Ramdas on the day that he left. They were laughing and joking together and Ramdas was very weak and he was happy that Maharaj came to see him and Maharaj came to treat just a treatment on him, a massage. And Ramdas really appreciated that. He was the kind of individual who never really was thinking about positions in a temple or ISKCON. He just kind of was a person who was really dedicated to his service. He did a wonderful service for the deities in the deity worship department. And he was one of those individuals who had a lot of good qualities. He always wanted to come to some kind of understanding or solution. He was really into that. If you presented a problem to him, he really wanted to develop a solution with you. So even in his later part when he was actually ready to leave the planet. He was still like that. If people came to visit him, he'd always be talking about these kind of things. So, let me read here. Here they said that he could not live without a heart transplant, but they didn't know that his heart, that he, the muscle was deteriorated, but he was simply ready to just leave the planet in Vrindavan. And when he died, Kavichandra Maharaj was there, and it said that he just kind of was on his back and he rolled over and he just said, you know, Prabhupada's name, and then he passed away in Vrindavan. So that's a kind of like a synopsis, and so we like to just recognize him today as one of the very nice devotees of New Dwarka Dham. He did a lot of nice service, very dedicated to the ISKCON movement, and what a great opportunity it was for him to go to Vrindavan and leave this planet. That's a rare situation where someone gets that kind of opportunity. So in that sense, we should glorify him for having that opportunity, taking advantage of it, and actually accomplishing it. It's a very, very difficult thing to do. And hopefully all of us will have some kind of opportunity for that, and that we'll take advantage of it and go to Vrindavan. Ramdas Prabhu ki jai. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.